This is indeed the day that the Lord has made, and we've come to rejoice and be glad in it. I don't know about you, but this is the third time I've heard Courtney sing that song. And each time it's singing, I have some of the folk from my congregation, my drivers, I call them. Those are godsends to me that don't allow me to drive too many places anymore. But they know that the Spirit hits me. I'm due to run around the church, but I didn't want to scare you this morning, so I stayed in my seat. I am more than pleased and humbled and honored to be here with you and my little brother, and I'm the big sister. We're not related, but my husband said we acted so much alike, and it gets so bad sometimes that when we're out, my husband would sit on Kevin's side and Linda would sit where I was to try and keep us in order, but we still were able to kick each other under the table and give each other eye contact to know whether things were going right or going wrong. When my husband passed a year ago and he had gave me the option, he said, if something happens to me, you will do my eulogy. And if you don't, Kevin will, but I'd rather you do it, not Kevin. He figured we'd probably be there and he'd share some things that he had no business sharing. But it's just a blessing and honor to be here in your presence today and to thank God. I'm going to ask if you just watch a brief video clip as we prepare our hearts to hear God's word this morning.
So you don't really take the time to look at me or even get to know me for to be known, to be loved, and to be loved, to be known. Otherwise, what's the point of doing either one of them in the first place? I want to be known. I want someone to look at my face and not just see two eyes, a nose, a mouth, and two ears, but to see all that I am and could be, all my hopes, loves, and fears, too much to hope for, to wish for, or pray for, so I don't, not anymore. Now I keep to myself, and by that I mean the pain that keeps me in my own private jail, the pain that brought me here at midday this well. To ask for a drink is no big request, but to ask it of me, a woman unclean, ashamed, used and abused, an outcast of failure, disappointment, a sinner, no drink passing from these hands to your lips would ever be refreshing, only condemning. I'm sure you condemn me now, but you don't. You're a man of no distinction, though of the utmost importance. A man with little reputation, at least so far. You whisper it, tell me to my face with all those glances have been about, and you take the time to really look at me. But don't need to get to know me, for to be known is to be loved. To be loved is to be known. And you know me. You actually know me. All of me and everything about me. Every thought inside and the air on top of my head. Every curse stored up, every hope, every dread. My past, my future, all I am to be. You tell me everything. You tell me about me. A not just spoken by another would bring hate and condemnation. Coming from you brings love, grace, mercy, hope, and salvation. I've heard of one to come who would save a wretch like me. And here in my presence, you say I am he. To be known is to be loved. To be loved is to be known. And I just met you, but I love you. I don't know you, but I want to get you. Let me run back to town. This is way too much for just me. There are others, brothers, sisters, lovers, haters, the good and the bad, sinners, and saints, who should hear what you told me, who should see what you showed me, who should taste what you gave me, who should feel what you forgave me. For to be known is to be loved, is to be loved, is to be known. And they all need this too. We all do. We need it for our own.
Having had someone to hear her heart, not knowing who she was talking to, but she knew she was talking to someone who knew her for who she was and would accept her for who she was. I'm so glad that the man I serve name is Jesus. Because if you knew my past, I was in the mess this woman was in. May not have been the identical mess, but we've all have been in a mess. Now, if there happens to be someone here this morning that's never been in a mess, then you're not living in the real world. We've all found ourselves in a mess. So I want you to know that God called, taught, and sent this woman. And that's why I can deal with folk whose lives are a mess. My office becomes overrun with folk walking in off the street. We're not located in a community like this. I'm located in the ghetto. the parsonage which is right next to the church my son named Better Homes in the Ghetto. And before I came there, they called to find out whether they could relocate me, for they did not want a woman living in that community. Now, that community was once an affluent African-American community that downsized itself, turned the other way, ended up with drugs, prostitution, alcoholism, you name it, it was there. And I said to them, if I cannot serve in that community, then you need to find another pastor. If you can come in to worship, then I ought to be able to stay next door. But sometimes we find ourselves caught up in a mess, and the community found out that the pastor, after about 6 months of having been there walking around the church during the day and on the front steps of the church in the evenings, they'd be smoking reefer and you'd find all the little, you all don't know what that is. Marijuana, I'll give it the real name. And you'd find the little butts on the steps and you'd wonder what's next, and they'd look at me. And they'd always say, good evening, ma'am. Never knew who I was. I never knew what a preacher was supposed to look like or dress like. I just knew I had to be myself. And after a while, I came by one day and all of a sudden they started hiding things. And I said, what's wrong? Why didn't you tell us you were the preacher? I told them I didn't think that was of importance to you. They needed to know that whoever was the pastor, that I came into the community and I need to embrace the community as I found it. And that's what I did. Lives messed up. And by a mess, I mean not just prostitution, not just drugs, but a mess can be anything you find yourself in, from financial problems, the whole nine yards. These messes find us in bad relationships. These messes will find us on our jobs. They'll find us in our homes. They'll find us in our marriages. They'll even find us in our children. But when you realize that you've messed up big time, by not letting your life be shaped by a trusting and obedient relationship with God, I need you to remember that even though you have turned away from God, that God has not turned away from you. That God forgives you, God still loves you, and God absorbs the cost of your wrongness in mine. Because I promise you, I've been wrong a whole lot of times. I told the contemporary service, I'm a PK. My granddaddy, my daddy's two brothers, uncles, cousins, you name it, I'm a PK. But I promise you, preacher's kids are the worst kids on the block. They know it all, and many of them have done it all. You just look at us in a different way because of where we've come from. And we tend to do that. If you came from this side, I know you're good people, but you just don't know what goes on in the good people's lives. Everybody's life is a mess. But I want you to know that everything is not lost. You may not be able to undo the results of your wrongness, but God still holds you up in his hands and know that you can have new life in him. Promise you it won't be easy or cheap. It will require you reorganizing yourself and recognizing that you have sinned and done those things that you should not have done. So the woman Jesus spoke of today was in a mess. She's made some bad decisions about her love life. To get through five husbands and the one that she had then wasn't hers is a whole lot to think about. That number of divorces even then, even now, would make folks' heads turn. Five, please don't marry anybody else. And here she is living with somebody that doesn't even belong to her. Who wants someone like that to preach to them? All of our lives have been nothing but a mess. Whether you can identify with this woman or not, you can identify with the mess in your own lives. But what does Jesus do? Does he pile on the disapproval? Does he tell her to get her life straightened out? No, what he does is to engage her in conversation and begin to work on her deepest needs. You see, we ought to be concerned about people's deepest needs rather than making matters worse by finding fault with them. We can do more to help folk just by accepting them as they are rather than sitting in church sometimes hunching each other. You know how we do that. If you've never done it, we did it as children growing up as teenagers, and Dad would catch our eyes and we'd end up having to sit in the pulpit with him for the rest of the sermon. All of our lives are messes. We know a lot of women and men who are at the well this morning. People who are yearning for meaning, people who are yearning for faith, but who made bad choices after choice after choice. We know people who time and time again, who choose as partners, who move down the wrong road, who find themselves in abusive relationships, running for life. Sometimes when our self-image is low, when we really don't like ourselves, we get involved with people who will reinforce that self-image. We all know people whose lives are a mess. We don't sit here today exempt, not in our lives and the lives of those that we know. We all know people who we need to come alongside and follow the example of Jesus. But here's what Jesus did for that woman. He called her. Not to get into her business. Sometimes we call folk and want to get to know them just to find out what's going on in their life. He called her. He was looking for some common ground. His initial conversation about wanting water gave him the opportunity to talk about living water which comes from God, which would last her forever. Jesus caught her attention. And he began to understand her longings for things that last. He tells her about the mess of her life, which confirms to her the insight that Jesus has. And you and I have been called by Jesus to walk along somebody else who's struggled. He continues to call us to follow. But not only did he call her and get her attention, he started teaching her. You see, if you can't hear the call, you can't be taught. He taught her about true worship, which is not dependent upon a certain place. He taught her about true worship, not how you supposed to look when you come to church. He taught her that it didn't matter how you came, as long as you come with an open heart and an open mind. True worship is a matter of the heart, where we worship the God who is spirit with our own spirits. God is calling us and teaching us. But after this woman was called and taught, she then left her job, went back to the city and said to the people, I want you to come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Wouldn't that frighten you for somebody to tell you everything that you've ever done? How often do we go to bed at night with things still boiling over in our lives? Our lives are a mess. Our marriages are a mess. I'm divorced and things just aren't going right. I'm in financial trouble. We're just in a mess. But can you imagine taking all of that and allowing the man to know all about you? God doesn't want part of us. He wants all of us. He wants us to know him in a way that when we begin to share the good news with others, that we can share with him how we've been set free from our own infirmities. This woman left her job, went back into town, as I like to call them, little nosy women who didn't come to the well the time of day that that woman came. You see, they came during the time when it was cool. This woman came during the time that possibly she was there to ply her trade. But she met this man at the well. Had no idea who this man was. And this man began to tell her everything she'd ever done. Can't you see that? When someone does that, you've got to tell somebody. You can't keep it to yourself. But you can almost be sure that the little nosy women in town don't want to hear it, because they've watched her break up too many homes. So what can she tell us now? Well, as I've shared with the other services, that woman went into town and she began to get excited about the man that she met, the man that didn't find fault in her, the man that accepted her just as she was, the man that walked with her and talked with her and got her through all the mess she was in. And she began to walk through that crowd of women and began to just touch them and tell them, you touched me. Shackled by a heavy burden I was neath a load of guilt and shame, but the hand of Jesus touched me and I'm no longer the same. I hear that woman all the time in my own life since I met the blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole. I'll never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it till eternity rolls. See, because I'm not ashamed of my life. I know from whence I've come and how I got over. That's why when I run into folk who think that there's nothing else for them to do, I said, honey, how much time you got? Let me tell you where He brought me from. I don't have a problem telling folk I was sinking deep in sin, far from the earthly shore, buried deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry and from the waters lifted me, y'all, and look at me, I'm safe right now. That's what happens. That's why that woman could go back and begin to say, He touched me. He touched me. He touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened and now I know He touched me and made me whole. You don't know what that made them little women feel like. She had to say to them, y'all need to come and meet the man that I met. And it'll put new pep in your step. New vim in your limbs. And give you a reason to praise the Lord. I shared with her earlier the contemporary service this morning. Courtney, when she sings, she doesn't just sing. Courtney has an anointed voice of God. Why anointed? Young woman whose life was near end. Young woman who was homeless. Young woman who came through college. Young woman who ended up being a former Miss B.C. You, Bethune-Cookman University. Young woman who was the liaison person with the Alachua County School Board to homeless children in school. You see, if God has blessed you out of your mess, then you're not ashamed to tell somebody else about the mess that you were in. When you're homeless, you're in a mess. But she couldn't forget where she come from. Which allowed her to be able to reach back behind her and pull those in the same trap she was in into a place of succeeding in life. Look at her! The Gainesville Sun carried a huge article about this young woman whose life was a mess and how she literally reformed students within the Alachua County school system. And as long as I'd known her, never knew she was homeless. She didn't have a pity party. She just began to give God the praise and reach back and pull others behind her. Every last one of us here this morning are in a mess. And I don't know what your mess is, but your mess ought to be able to allow you to reach behind you and pull somebody else up. A brother may have fallen. A sister may have fallen. The man on the corner may be drunk and filthy and stink, but you embrace him because that's how God found us in our sins, filled with stench, but He loved us and hugged us anyway. I don't know about you this morning, but we all need to be taken to the cross because nobody can do for us what God can do. He sacrificed His Son. I'm so glad because y'all wouldn't have died for me and I wouldn't have died for you. So I'm so glad there was one that died for all of us and forgave us of our sins. I'm glad God's grace is amazing. I'm glad that it saved a wretch like me. I'm glad it found me at the wells of life, thanking God that the man that I'm talking to didn't find fault with me. But found a reason to pick me up when I was down and lead and guide me in the right way. This woman was called. This woman was taught. And when you're called and taught, God doesn't have to send you. You're going to go automatically. You can't help but run and tell somebody, I met a man named Jesus. And if you've met that man this morning, you need to ask him, to touch you. And if he's touched you, then ask him to help you touch someone else's life and change it. I'm glad I was called. May have taken a while for me to hear the call, but I'm glad I was called. When my mother found out that I owned the liquor store and lounge on Avenue D in Fort Pierce, Florida, and was pushing dope, it almost broke her heart. Until the president dean from Garamond Theological Seminary walked in and said, "Your mother told me I'd find you here." And I was convicted. God called me a long time ago, but I just wanted to do some stuff that I had no business doing. So don't ever say who can't carry God's word. Because if the prostitute carried it and over 3,000 souls were saved, whoever you are, whatever your condition is, God can use you too. Doesn't matter how small you might be. And we dismiss our children and youth because we say they're children. They've got a word from God. And they can lead you and me in a way that we can't lead each other. If God has called you, allow him to teach you. And if he has taught you, then I want you to go and make disciples as that woman at the well did. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let the church say amen.